Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Joining me right now, the former general manager of the New York Mets. Now he's a big radio star. He is the big-time morning show host on MLB Network Radio. And that is Steve Phillips. Steve, good to talk to you. How you been?
I'm doing great. Good to be with you, Evan.
I got to go back in history because you got to teach me because I don't know what was going on. So Edgardo Alfonso, great Met, fantastic Met. He gets to free agency at 28 years old. And I remember as a fan saying, oh, man, I don't want to lose Fonzie. I don't want to lose Fonzie. He leaves as a free agent, and it turned out to be a great decision because of the back issues that ended up happening. Were you guys aggressive in trying to keep Alfonso, or was there a lot of concern at that point in giving him a long-term contract?
I think there was some level of concern. We did have interest, but we went to a certain point where we thought our risk was appropriate to take on because of that back issue, and it had been an ongoing problem for him over some period of time. So, you know, we went as far as we thought was appropriate, and the Giants went a little bit further. And, you know, it was hard to lose him because he's a special person, and he grew up in this organization. I mean, he was a young baby when he signed and came in from Venezuela, had developed at the major league level into a pretty significant offensive player and a solid defender and an important part of the team. But, you know, there were physical concerns moving forward, and San Francisco decided to kind of push the envelope with it. We didn't. As we look back on it, it was a loss in the person, but, he didn't have many good years left after that.
Was it years or money that was the biggest concern?
I think it was years at the time, as I recall. I mean, I think that the money per year was really in the same ballpark. It was how many years was their comfort level in going. I think he got a four-year deal, if I'm not mistaken. I'd have to go back and revisit that with San Francisco at the time. But it was questionable as to what, you know, how much longer with that back he was going to go and to what level you wanted to pay him beyond that with those potential risks that were coming there as he was creeping up in age. You know, he didn't age well. Yeah. You know, some guys age better than others. He got kind of thick in his bottom half. Then his back was acting up, and then it made his bottom half thicker, his mobility a bit reduced. And I think our thought then was, you know, we'd want him back, but boy, we sure don't want to push it beyond a couple of years because of that concern. And he ended up going to San Francisco.
No, and you guys were right. It turned out to be, and hearing the money is just comical because of the way the money is now, it was a four-year, $26 million deal with the San Francisco Giants. So
yeah.
You think about that now, it's such a reasonable contract. But back then, I mean, it's a little bit more money than the way it looks now, $26 million over 4 years.
Yeah, but, well, the market's changed, right? I mean, the whole industry has changed. Payrolls have changed. They've doubled almost since then. And so, so I think, you know, effectively you're looking at $452 in this day and age. And you better stay healthy. You better be productive. And there were some real questions there with what was happening with the transformation of his body.
Where do you stand, and not necessarily just with him, because he got to free agency at 28, but in general of buying out free agent years? Because that's the thing with Jacob DeGrom. I would have bought him out last year. I would have said, all right, you got 3 years left of arbitration. Here's a six-year contract or a five-year contract. Do you tend to like doing things like that? Because there is risk involved. You can buy out years of a guy who turns out to go on the decline. The Mets tried it with Jonathan Neese, and it turned out to be a disaster. Where did you stand on that philosophy?
Yeah, I wanted to buy out some free agent years if it was the right guy. You know, you have to identify the player. You never really know. I was always more comfortable with position players than I was pitchers, just because tell me the pitcher who stays healthy for six straight years. I mean, there are not many of them that stay healthy, don't go on the disabled list for six straight years. Position players, I think there's a bit more predictability. You may get some slight decline in performance, but for pitchers, you may lose the guy altogether, and then that really compromises your payroll and your budget. And so, but I will tell you that as we have evolved, there's been more analysis of all of this, you know, players getting into their 30s, you know, and the way that agents make their money, you know, and Scott Boras isn't a great agent because he got $26 million instead of $25 million. He's a great agent because he got 10 years instead of 7 years.
Right.
I mean, that it's the extra years. And what teams are doing now is they're saying, yeah, no, we're not doing that. You know, we're not going to pay that guy, you know, and I'll use the Jacob DeGrom situation right now. He's 30 right now. When he goes to free agency, he'll be 33 years old. And what he wants is he wants to be paid for his age 33 year based upon his performance in his age 30 year. Well, sure, I would too. And but what's the potential that 3 years from now, 2.5 years from now, he's going to be the same level of pitcher that he is right now? Historically, guys start the wear and tear of pitching can start to take a toll. Guys start to diminish beyond 31, 32, 33. And so, you know, he's had his best season. He wants to get a payday for, you know, years beyond free agency like he's pitching today. But the predictability of that is that it's highly unlikely that at the age of 33 he's going to be pitching like he is today. And it's a matter of what level of risk you're willing to take. And you know, what agents do is they want to get paid for their older years like they're performing at their younger years. And that's why you're going to see Bryce Harper and Manny Machado want 12-year contracts so they can get paid at the age of 37 like they're performing at the age of 26.
Sure.
And why wouldn't you want that?
And there's a gamble on their part because when he gets to free agency at 33, we don't know what he is. And even if he is coming off a great year, you would think there are going to be teams to hesitate to give him a 5-year contract that's going to have him signed till he's 38, 39 years old. So I get why the agent wants an extension. I would think they want an extension because they don't want to risk going into free agency at age 33 where very few teams you would think are going to be willing to give that kind of long-term contract, right?
Yeah, here's what happens. As a general manager, you know, you're reactive to what has happened to you previously. So think about the recent multi-year deal that the Mets have signed for guys. So
right.
The David Wright contract is an albatross because of health. Cespedes is not a good contract. Jay Bruce, not a good contract. You know, and I always reckon it like, you know, when a woman has a baby, when she first delivers that baby, she in her mind cannot think, I'll never have another baby because it hurts too much.
Right.
But then the further away you get from the pain, the more willing you are to go through it again, because the expectation of the excitement and the joy of everything can happen. Free agency for ownership's a lot the same way. When you've recently been burned and you feel the pain of a free agent signing, you tend not to want to go back down that road, or you're real hesitant to do it, or you're reluctant to go there. And so you've got to find the perfect and right situation to do it. And I think that right or wrong, that is what happens. And the agent wants to get an extension, but the team's afraid to make an offer, and it paralyzes you because you're afraid that you're going to make him an offer that's going to insult him, because it's not hard to figure out his value as an arbitration-eligible player in 2019 and 2020. You can figure that piece out. Right, that's within a range of, you know, $500,000, $1 million. You kind of know what that is. It's like, what is his value in free agency, and what risk am I willing to assume for a 33-year-old pitcher who has logged some serious innings by then and has been injured a couple times? And because everybody's reluctant to do it, the price that will make sense for the team today isn't going to come in their mind. Isn't going to be anywhere close to what they believe the player assumes to be his value. But the player will never give the value first. Like, you know, a team will say, well, what are you looking for? Like, no, that's not how it works.
Right.
Tell us what you're willing to pay.
Right.
And so the team gets stuck. You know, Jacob DeGrom said, you know, they've not made me an offer in any numbers because they're afraid to. Because you get paralyzed because you think, okay, well, we think it's going to be $18 million. And the player's going to think, what are you talking about? I'm going to be worth $30 million. The year I'm putting up this year, is if I were a free agent right now, I'd be worth $30 million a year. David Price, at the age of 30, signed a 7-year, $217 million contract. Yu Darvish, at 31, signed a 6-year, $126 million contract. And DeGrom's going to say, I'm better than Darvish.
Well, but the response I'd have to the agent is, hey, those guys were free agents. They had more leverage. You don't have leverage. This is what we're willing to do. And here's what jumps out at me, and you tell me. All right, this is what I think is fair, and maybe I'm nuts. I'd offer him 5 years, so I'm buying out two free agent years, I'm taking care of the arbitration years, and I'd give him $100 million. It's $20 million a year, and he can't cite David Price, Yu Darvish, Steve, because those guys were free agents. There were other teams able to bid. Right now, it's just me bidding.
Yeah, you're buying out three free agent years, right? So you've got the rest of this year, 2 years of control, and three free agent years.
Correct, you're right, yes.
Right.
Yes, that's
and
what
so
I would do.
So he's looking at it saying, all right, well, my value in arbitration next year is probably $15 million. Then my value in arbitration in my five-plus service time year is probably going to be $20, $21 million, $22 million maybe. So that's $36, $37 million. And so, you know, for the remaining 3 years, what are you willing to pay me? And he's looking at it saying, you know, I need to get 5 years and $120 million, 5 years. And I understand his argument, but – you know, it comes down to the public perception that if the Mets enter this and don't get it done, and the player spins it in a way, it'll be all same old cheap Mets, right? And so they don't make an offer at all because they're in this position, like we're darned if we do and darned if we don't. And so we'd rather not. That way we're at least not being called cheap. We're just waiting to see what happens with this situation.
Wouldn't it have been better to have approached Jacob at the end of last year? He had his first 200-inning year. He had a very solid year, not a Cy Young year, but a very solid year. And now you're telling him, hey, we're taking care of three arbitration-eligible seasons plus free agency. The timing is bad because, like you even said, hey, he's having a Cy Young caliber year, but wasn't the time to go after an extension last November?
It is. In a vacuum, yes. I think you're probably right about that. The other factor in it is, what do you say to Syndergaard, and what do you say to Harvey? And where can you go with your finances to be able to make all of that work? So, you know, you're right. For DeGrom, the right thing would have been then. For Syndergaard, is it the right thing? He's going to want his payday, too.
Well, he needs to pitch a full season. I mean, well, I would tell Noah Syndergaard, stay healthy,
right,
pal.
You're right. But there will be others who will say, pay Syndergaard too, so he's not been healthy. But you know what he is when he is healthy. He's a little freak thing. He's got a little hangnail right now. He's got a little finger issue right now. What's the big deal? You know, he had a lat, but it's just a lat. It'll heal. He'll come back. There's no problem with that. He came back at the end of the year. And look, Syndergaard may not have wanted his payday then because might have wanted to come back and pitch a little bit to show he was healthy and reestablish. The problem for the Mets right now is, you know, they're negotiating from a point of weakness. DeGrom's having the best season ever. So, that's not a time to negotiate. The player's got all the leverage, all the power. Now, you could say, well, he's 30. He's an older free agent. And you know, here's the thing. Like, I look at Josh Donaldson. I will look at a position player point of view. Donaldson is 32 right now. He's going to free agency after the season at the age of 33. All right? And he's making $23 million arbitration value salary right now. His market has gone kaput. He started this season hoping, and this is a tale for DeGrom to understand, Donaldson started this season hoping he's going to go out and have a monster year. He's going to get a five-year, $150 million contract. I mean, the guy, here's the thing. When you look at prior to this season, Josh Donaldson's career OPS was greater than the single-season best year Manny Machado ever had. Donaldson was 878. Oh, yeah. Machado's best season was 876. Donaldson's thinking, I'm an MVP guy. I'm going to go out and have a great year, get 5 years, 130. The team's not really in the market for a 33-year-old guy giving him a five-year deal. They don't make an offer. They play out this season. He gets hurt. His value now, they may not offer him a qualifying offer because he might take it at $18 million. And I don't know that he's predictably healthy enough to be able to pay him $18 million. And so his market's gone from $150 million down to maybe, you know, if he comes back healthy in the final 2 months, maybe he can get a two-year, $24 million deal with some performance bonuses in there to make more money if he stays healthy. But he might not. He might get a one-year deal.
Yeah.
And so DeGrom's got to look at that. But players don't look at how they compare to other guys. Donaldson kept saying, I don't care what happened to Batista. I'm not Batista. I stay healthy. I perform. What teams say is, we don't know which one of you guys are going to get hurt, which one of you guys aren't. We don't know which one of you guys are going to go against the norm and perform at a high level and which one of you guys are going to fall off. But more of you fall off than perform. More of you get hurt than stay healthy. And so we treat all of you the same way because we're not smart enough to know which guy, and the players aren't understanding that right now.
It's a part of why, as sexy as free agency can be, because you got everybody bidding on you, it's smarter to hit while the iron is hot. You're so right about Josh Donaldson. This is a guy that won an MVP. This is a guy who backed it up by having another great year. And if at the time, I'm not sure what the Blue Jays were offering, but if at the time he said, you know what, let me get my extension now, even if it, in a dream world it isn't as much as you could potentially get in free agency, it's better than the risk of what happened to him. Because you're right, yeah. He's going to have to settle for a one-year deal. So isn't that a motivation to a player to say, I'd rather get the extension? Free agency's too risky, man.
Yeah, you're 100% right. Here's the issue, is that the players have not gotten to the level of acceptance yet for the way teams are making decisions. They keep thinking, no, that's about that guy. It's not about me. And everybody waited last year, except Jay Bruce. Like, Jay Bruce, like, you know what? 3-13, not 3-39, that, I'll take that. That's all right. It may not be, you know, squeezing every dollar out of the market, but it's a place I played. I did okay there. I liked it there. Let me go back there. And he took it. Because there was a level of acceptance that, you know, who I am, where the market is, where it's going, and why play a game with it. Everybody else waited in disbelief. And they, you know, they want to point fingers and blame everything. But there's enough evidence out there right now to reinforce why teams are making the decisions that they are. The Mets are living it right now. Right? Sure, the Mets got some bargains last year in free agency. We all thought, oh, boy, they did great. Yeah, but they got a bunch of older guys. The reason they got them for good values was because they're older guys. And the risk you run is that at some point, the diminishing returns are going to completely fall off the edge. So Vargas, that happened. Cespedes is hurt. Frazier is hurt again. And Swarzak's not living up to the performance. Bruce isn't performing, is now hurt. And so, like, every single older guy that they signed, that you can say, well, they got decent value on them. Well, they did what older guys do. They diminish in performance, or they get hurt and more prone to it, and that's where it's unfortunately gone. They, you know, from the Mets' perspective, if they're going to spend money, you know, and I know there's a budget, but they may be better served to spend it on getting a star and developing young guys around them than they are buying a bunch of older veterans who, you know, are decent price for the same money as the star, but you're not going to get impact.
Are you suggesting, Steve Phillips, that the New York Mets this offseason break the bank for Manny Machado?
Well, I mean, listen, it's something you have to consider.
Yes.
Now, at what price, though? I mean, it's your thing. I know what the – here, and I lived with this as the Mets general manager. Now, the Yankees have changed a bit, but Brian Cashman and I used to always talk, and we'd talk at the trade at the draft. And we'd say, oh, we're drafting fresh meat to trade at the trade deadline to go get major league proven guys to come in. The game's changed in a lot of ways, where now those young guys are getting opportunities even for the big, large market teams. But he'd always say to me, well, what's your budget? And I tell him my budget, and I goes, what's yours? He goes, well, I don't have a budget. And he'd go, you know, because what they did is if they spent money and they made a mistake, they spent over their mistake. They just, oh, Kayagawa, all right, we'll send him AAA. It'll be the most impressive high salary AAA guy in Scranton, and so be it. You know, we deal with it, we move on and sign the next starting pitcher. The Mets aren't in a position to do that, and so, but they're going to have to make a decision, and I think where they are, they're kind of caught in that middle place right now, and I think they're in a spot where they may have to decide between tearing it apart,
right,
or spending beyond what you're comfortable with.
Yes.
But that might actually cost you less than if you tear it apart.
Yes. Yes.
Right? And so you've got some pieces there. You built this to win over the next 2 or 3 years. You've got some pieces there to be able to do it. And if you sign at DeGrom and or Syndergaard for a number of years, and then you get out from under Cespedes, you can start to retool with some younger guys and build it in. Maybe there's some ways you can't get to where you can compete now. Spend through the period where you've got to sort of replenish with younger players, and then you'll be able to fill in with younger players when your older guys kind of get out from these contracts you've already signed them
yes.
to. So I think that they're in that unique spot. My gut tells me they're going to stay in the middle without spending and without tearing it apart.
You're 100. I completely agree with you. What they should do is what you laid out before. What they will do is band-aid it like crazy. That's what I expect. Yeah. I'm curious, and I know a lot has probably changed on both ends for the Yankees and for the Mets. George isn't around. You know, the Mets have changed over the decade and a half. But, you know, at this radio station, and it's driven me nuts, there have been so many DeGrom to the Yankee phone calls. And What I have always said, I stand by, is it'll never happen. You know, even if the Mets decided to trade Jacob DeGrom, there's no way they trade him to the Yankees. From your experience, obviously, as the general manager of the Mets, and again, knowing things may have changed on both sides, could you ever see something of that magnitude going down?
So, you know, I learned from Frank Cashin. I came in as a young guy, administrative assistant. Frank Cashin was there. And Frank always said to me, Stevie, don't worry about trading with the Yankees. If you want to trade with them, don't worry about what it does for them. Worry about what it does for you. What difference does it make if it helps the other team? It doesn't matter. If it helps your team, then go ahead and make the trade. So he never hesitated on wanting to trade within the division. He didn't hesitate on wanting to trade with the Yankees. If it helped our team, it helped our team, and that's what we would do. And I made a trade. Remember, I traded Robin Ventura over there, got David Justice,
yep.
Flipped him.
For Mark Guthrie, right?
Right, and I ended up getting, and Tyler Yates, I ended up getting the money freed up so I could then get Robbie Alomar. And I didn't care if it, I mean, and Ventura was a good player for them and did a nice job for him. And as I thought he might, but it was the right thing for us. Now, I understand DeGrom's like an impact ace. It could get them a World Series. I don't think that would worry me if I were doing it. If it's the right thing for the Mets to do, then they should do it, because it's not about how many World Series you get compared to the Yankees. It's can you get another World Series and how quickly can you get it? And so if the Yankees get one, so be it. Who cares? Someone's going to win it.
Sure.
What difference does it make if it's the Yankees? And if it does, then it makes interleague play more interesting. It makes the rebuild more interesting. But here's the thing. I don't think that there's an appetite to trade DeGrom to the Yankees. If DeGrom's out there, you're going to get a lot more teams than just the Yankees that would truly go after him. And the other thing I would say is that if I'm going to trade DeGrom, I don't know necessarily that I would do it at the deadline. I might do it in the offseason because, if I'm looking for a quicker rebuild, then teams would be more inclined to rob Peter to pay Paul in the offseason than they would be now, because I might be able to get a major league young starter who's not DeGrom, but still a guy who can step in and be a starter. I can probably get a major league outfielder, maybe a couple minor leaguers, or an infielder and a couple minor leaguers. And in the off season, the teams can then replace those players among the pool of free agents that are out there much more easily than they can at the trade deadline. And you might get teams who are not really in the race now, but think they're going to be in the race next year, to say, yeah, you know what, I'm in on DeGrom too. We'll make a deal for you, but we'd rather do it in the offseason. So I don't know the trade deadline's the best timing for a deal for DeGrom.
Right.
But I don't know that there's an appetite. I think, let's put it this way, Omar Minaya would trade him to the Yankees, but I don't know how that decision-making process plays out.
Steve, the question is, does Jeff Wilpon check it off and say it's allowed? And I'd be skeptical of it, but who knows? I mean, maybe things have changed. Real quick, who wins the AL East, Yankees or the Red Sox?
All along I've said Yankees. But I think that the interesting turn here at the trade deadline is the Yankees' interest in Manny Machado tells me that Brian Cashman doesn't believe there's a starting pitcher available to him to improve their team enough. And why trade for mediocrity? Let me trade for impact somewhere. My guess is their conversations with the Orioles included both Britton and Machado in trying to get both of them. Now, the reports are out right now that the Orioles have finalized the deal to an unnamed team, and that the likelihood is it will be announced probably tomorrow after the All-Star game. But that, and then there were reports, John Heyman reported earlier today, it looks like the Dodgers are the lead team right now. After we heard over the week, the last few days that the Phillies had been that team. So stay tuned on all of that. But, I think that the Yankees can catch the Red Sox, and the Red Sox are going to come back a little bit. They've been playing great baseball. They will have a cold streak. The question is, can the Yankees get enough quality starting pitching to let their bullpen and let their offense do what they do and win games, or do they fall out of some games early? The Red Sox starting pitching is better, but can Cashman make a move in that? So I'm still going to – I don't want to be wrong twice, so I'm going to pick still the Yankees to win the division. And I don't root for teams. I just root to be right, so I'm rooting for the Yankees.
I like that honesty, a root to be right. Well, Steve, I appreciate you coming on. It's always a pleasure, my friend.
Okay, you bet. My pleasure.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.